Give a little time for the child within you. Don't be afraid to be young and free. Undo the locks and throw away the keys and take off your shoes and socks and run you.
It's Jordan, Jesse Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
Did I just say America's radio sweetheart?
Yeah. You know what?
I did.
Run with it.
Yeah.
Better than heart.
It's a dumb nickname anyway.
Yeah.
Welcome to Jordan, Jesse Go, a show where we talk for an hour.
That's true. And sometimes we mispronounce a word and then have some fun with that.
The key is to underpromise and overdeliver.
We're just a couple of sweethearts.
Little do these people know they're going to get an hour and three.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. We're going to run over 63 minutes.
If we stop anywhere before three, we are going to get so much shit for it. We're going to try and stick this landing exactly.
At Jesse Thorne, at Jordan _Morris. Dear sirs.
2 minutes and 49 seconds is not 3 minutes.
We just decided on Judge John Hodgman the other day a case about at a counter service restaurant, mm-hmm. whether you're allowed to take a table before you get your food.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I probably received 20 tweets about it already.
What was your?
I didn't even decide it.
What was your position?
My position was that you should follow any posted policy, but otherwise you should probably just do it in a place where that's what people are doing.
Mm-hmm. I have no strong opinions and find it funny that someone would have one.
Oh boy, do they ever, Jordan. In fact, literally by making the mistake of mentioning this right now, I've prompted another flurry of 15 tweets. Please don't tweet those at me. You can go ahead and tweet those at California Senator Dianne Feinstein.
Oh, Dianne Feinstein.
Send them to Dianne Feinstein. She appreciates hearing what you have to say. And you know what? CC Kamala Harris, her junior colleague.
Sure.
Okay? Okay. Our guest this week, mm-hmm. beloved regular here on Jordan, Jesse Go. He's a writer for, most recently, television's BoJack Horseman. His name, Nick Adams.
Repeat is back. How's it going, guys?
It's going great.
I don't know why I'm yelling.
I'm glad that you announced
I have
your
to
presence.
Get like an initial...
My hort is full, but you are here with us today.
First of all, a sweet hort is like a sultana. It's like a craisin.
Got it.
It's like a dried, I don't know, name a fruit, an apricot or something.
I feel
people
like,
don't like
if Nick is going to come in and say and scream, repeat is back, but while we're introducing him, there should be that little like arpeggio at the beginning of Baba O'Reilly.
Like, oh, that's nice.
And
I need some intro music.
Is back and he goes bow bow bow.
What about? I'm just gonna take it in another direction. Nick, tell me which one you prefer.
All right.
Repeat is back. Y'all ready for this?
How about a Funk Master Flex, like just randomly throughout the show, just repeat? Like, just the, some bombs go off and repeat.
Exclusive.
Oh, I really love this popular hip hop song that I can only hear on urban radio. You know what I want right in the middle of it? Just a dude yelling. Just his name during the middle of the song. Don't do that.
Have we ever addressed the topic that. Like, literally, I've never done stand-up comedy. Mm-hmm. Closest we've ever come to doing stand-up comedy is, for a while, Jordan and I hosted a show at the Ice House in mm-hmm. Pasadena. Real hip crowd at the Ice House, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Very hip crowd. A lot of fans came out for those shows. Thank you,
know, you
very
I think
much.
People in Pasadena are... You know, they're spoiled by the Rose Parade.
Yeah.
They're spoiled by the yearly
The other
Rose
364
Parade.
Days, it's a fucking letdown.
Sure.
What do you do?
Well, he's not made of flowers.
Yeah.
He's not a salute to firemen made of flowers.
He's not sponsored by the city of industry.
Yeah. He's not being ridden upon by Eric Estrada, the Grand Marshal of this year's Tournament of Roses Parade.
I don't see anyone involved with KCAL 9
no,
at all.
No,
there's
one
no
KCAL. With KCAL 9.
I think Kevin Kataoka may have been sponsored by the City of Industry.
Oh, okay.
So if not the City of Industry, then Carson, California.
Palms,
California. but I feel like the topic that has most...
Someone needs to make the KTLA traffic copter out of geraniums. Something that would happen at the Rose Parade.
The topic that I feel like I would most like to have be my... Just as Hot Pockets are the signature issue of Jim Gaffigan mm-hmm. on stage as a sure. stand-up comic, were I a stand-up comic, the single thing I feel most passionate about in the world is that when you listen to hip-hop radio... all of the DJs have urban voices, but they keep the old white guy for all booming voices. Mm-hmm. And so it's just the in a world guy is the guy who says, like,
exclusive blazing tracks.
You know, somebody said exclusive once in like 1983, and no one involved in hip hop has had to say exclusive
that man
since
is,
that guy.
That man's long dead.
Yeah, he's gone.
You just have to send
his widow gets $4 every time they say exclusive.
You send a self-addressed stamped envelope and a blank cassette tape to Mr. Magic, and he sends you back like, a dub of the
exclusive. Like 70
one.
Of those in a row. Just exclusive.
Let's get some options on that.
Exclusive.
Exclusive? Exclusive.
But we got it.
We'll use the second one.
It doesn't, like, there's some of the times it is a word that an old white man would and should
sure.
say. Like, I even think, like, exclusive is an example.
Mm-hmm.
Well, sure, you're going to want, but like in the commercial for a nightclub,
mm-hmm.
They will have that guy come in. And he'll be the guy who says, like, ladies, get in free before 8 p.m. Gentlemen, no caps, no jerseys, no sneakers. And you're like, what? Who is this guy? What is the character?
Does he know what that is for? Does he just like, they're just say it. Just read those words. And he was like, why?
Prudential insurance. No caps, no shoes, no sneakers. Fire exits behind you to your left. He just has a list that his agent gives him in the morning.
He just has an ISDN line. He calls in and just rattles off a bunch of nonsense.
From rural Iowa?
When I was growing up, there was it was a small town, and the closest city is Greensboro. And at the roller skating rink, they would have Black Night if there wasn't school on Monday. I don't know why it was Sunday night.
Sure.
We only got it if it was Sunday night and there was no school on Monday. It's
was
like they didn't. You guys might party too hard and then the attendance will dwindle. I don't know what they expected.
They're concerned about too much bouncing and rocking.
Yeah.
Was it called Black Night?
Did it have the marketing department could have done better than Black Night.
Well, if you show up wanting to see the movie where Martin Lawrence travels back in time to King Arthur's.
The
England.
DJ was. Python from Greensboro's Power 97.1.
Okay. Oh, wow.
That was the urban station in the area. And the Python would come and DJ. And you think, okay, this is like a big black guy. He's got like a deep voice. He was like a 50-year-old scrawny white guy with like ripped jeans and no shoes. And his daughter would come and just run around and play video games and eat pizza. And he was the coolest guy in the world. But he was the number one. That's not what I expected of all. And he like... You wanted to hear the new special ed? Guess who's got it? Python will play it for you. You know, like he was that guy on the radio and looked like a farmer, like a straight up farmer.
Nobody like a local radio personality making an appearance.
Yeah.
Like that is the most. First of all, there are no other true local celebrities like local radio and television personalities. Mm. People who are so important. I mean, like, get Karen Kilgariff in here. Me and her will do an hour on KTVU2 anchor Dennis Richmond. In a heartbeat, we'll do that. But if you want to top that, bring in a radio personality because you get that dissonance of who the this is a real person.
Yeah.
One of the biggest urban radio DJs in the Bay Area when I was a kid was this guy called Chuy Gomez. And Chuy Gomez also hosted the after-school UHF hip-hop video show, CMC, the California Music Channel. And Chuy Gomez, first of all respect to Chuy Gomez, truly great radio DJ, and a great host on this, as wide as he was tall, like a 3-foot cube this man was, wearing a crooked baseball cap. Like that.
In his defense, his name was Chuy.
That's true.
And, all of this is tracking so far. What about this is going to blow our minds?
Well, he was just a magical human being because... He seems like he exists in an alternate universe that's inside that radio box.
Mm-hmm.
And because he is both the biggest deal in the world and not a big deal at all at one time.
If you leave a certain area code, zip code, he's a nobody.
He's zero.
Yeah, yeah.
You put Chuy Gomez in Bend, Oregon, and he is struggling to get a job as a busboy.
Mm-hmm.
In San Francisco, the streets are paved with Chuy Gomez.
How much of the voice, though, like, does that...
Golden effigies of Chuy Gomez.
Does that, like, there, like, with certain jobs, if you're like, I'm a lawyer, so people know I can negotiate, I understand, you know, whatever. If you're like, I have, like, this voice and this ability, like, I don't care. Like, that doesn't help you. Does that help you in any other? If you work at a high school, like, do you want to call the football game? Okay, great.
Yeah, yeah.
But does that give you any other up in life?
The skill that I possess, my core competency, is a useless skill.
Mm-hmm.
It is a skill without any real world value. I am the first to die after the apocalypse.
Once
I die before actresses.
Once the YouTube guys, you know, come up with the app that will just do, like, where computers will simulate podcasts. Like, you just type in, like, farts and, you know,
Game of Thrones. Remembering Nintendo. Boom. Yeah.
We got it. But what about the one with the code? And you had, yeah, we talked about that.
Okay.
The up, up, down. Yeah, we did that. We did a whole run on that.
You're going to have to build
remember the power pad. I think I'm sure we've talked about this on the show before, but it's in terms of radio DJs who don't look like what they sound like.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think the ultimate hilarious example for me will always be those guys at our college radio station who hosted the reggae shows.
Oh, my God. Before we get into DJ Hot Eye and Company, I want to emphasize going in, they were some of the nicest, coolest people at the whole radio station.
Absolutely.
Listen, because what we're about to say could be interpreted as us mocking them.
Yeah.
And that's not an unfair interpretation.
They're ridiculous men, but really wonderful guys.
White people who fully embrace weed and Rastafarian culture tend to pretty much be pretty cool and mellow people.
Absolutely.
Like, they're not, you're not going into that world like as some sort of entitled asshole looking for a fight.
You want loose trail mix out of a pocket? They've got it for you. You want to pet a golden retriever with a bandana? They've got one behind them at all times.
Do you want to potentially get your calf sliced open by their toenails?
Yeah.
Want to know a white guy who goes to Jamaica once a year to get dub plates? Yeah. That's your man.
So they would do all of their DJing in
patois.
In a really intense Jamaica voice.
Which apparently is like a thing that not only white dudes in America do, but, like, there's an international sound clash scene.
Oh, man.
So, like, there's sound clashes that are not just Jamaican sound systems, but ones from, like, Japan and Africa and Europe, and they all do it in patois. Like, all of them do it in essentially an in-living color Jamaican guy voice.
For some reason, like, I feel like anything that comes out of Japan, I'm just, like, never offended by it. Like, there's a whole, you know, the Japanese, they brown their skin and try to look, you know, urban. And part of me is just like, they don't. It's Japan.
History is different.
It's crazy over there.
The thing with the bomb. Give them a break.
Yeah, yeah. They buy panties in a vending machine. It's just, shit is nuts over there. I don't know.
Yeah.
No, it's
yeah, I definitely, you guys will be shocked to learn that one of my interests is going to the Japanese bookstore and buying expensive Japanese menswear magazines. And I was flipping through one the other day, and I realized it was a pictorial series, and I realized that it was based on, like, people of many nations, essentially, but it was one Japanese guy enacting. And I was like, it was like, you know, okay, wooden shoes. Waspy guy, okay.
Right.
What's on the
Please don't have a dashiki. Please don't have a dashiki.
It's like, poncho. Oh, African guy. Oh,
there we go. The prestige.
Yeah.
We were watching a video at work today of a Japanese video game, and I think you play this on a tablet.
Yeah.
The gameplay looks a lot like a Area 51 or a Virtua Cop, you know, this sort of game. You play it in a bowling alley, you have a light gun. So it's first person, so you're going through this locker room and women are jumping out or leaping out from behind crevices.
Sure, like they do.
And so there's a tablet. So you got a touch screen. And when the women leap out, you touch their privates to arouse them and to get them to stop attacking you, I guess. And here's the thing. there's a 10 out of 10 icky version of this, and there's a 5 out of 10 icky version of this. And this one becomes 10 out of 10 because when you poke them, the characters do not appear to be enjoying themselves. Like,
oh.
if it could just happen in, like...
Like,
yeah, that... you know, okay, right. That's some ribald fun, yeah, but sure. The character looks mad, cranky, like they have gas.
If there's a 12 out of 10 Icky version of it, you know what it is?
Hmm.
It's when you stimulate them, they do the Icky Shuffle, the world famous Icky Wood Stare.
Sure.
It's the only thing Icky.
But it's Japanese, so it's pixelated. You can't see it.
Right.
You can't see that Icky Shuffle.
So these reggae fellas, these reggae whites on KZSC.
I think you would call them reggae boys.
I might call them that.
Please don't ever call
them. Yeah, I'm not going to. And yeah, so they would do all of their DJ patter in a Jamaica voice, but it seems like they only learned what they had to say, which was fine, but the only way you have to venture off script in community radio is you have to read announcements. That's a kind of a, you know, the
it's
thing
a
about
community
being on,
service.
Community on radio.
Yeah.
So like, you know, once an hour you have to break in and read a, you know, a message from the public library or, you know, from the university, something like that.
So it's like they're dropping the needle on an exclusive Buju Banton track. Like Buju Banton is specifically shouting out, you know, Elephant Man is specifically shouting out DJ Hadai or whatever. And then you get into like, here, you're listening to Joy in the Morning.
Buck, 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 buck. Big ups, you know, to Babylon.
Big ups, Zion I, upon the replay.
Jai, it was Jai in the Morning.
Jai in the Morning.
Buck, buck, buck,
buck, buck. Kresge Community Center.
The Aptos Chess Club will be meeting at the library from 5 to 7 every alternate Tuesday.
Hear me now.
So it's sort of like the like your uncle's
Zion.
Shitty Arnold Schwarzenegger impression.
Yes.
In that, like, if he says he can say I'll be back, but he can't do anything off book, anything off script.
Yes.
Like he can't just improvise Arnold stuff.
But Nick, remember, like, imagine
Zion,
right?
Imagine
Zion's good.
Yeah. Imagine if your uncle was going to Copenhagen to participate in the international Uncle's Arnold Schwarzenegger competition. It was like
usually held in Stog, by the way.
Yeah, competing against a Malaysian guy and his friends. Mm-hmm. And they're all just in as a chorus saying, the chopper, whatever.
I would absolutely go to that event. International Uncles doing Arnold Schwarzenegger.
I believe Arnold would go and then really have a ball.
Yeah. My money's on the Filipinos.
Oh yeah. Yeah, they got a tight Arnold game. Arnold Schwarzenegger is like such a fun bad impression to do.
Yeah, it's really pretty easy.
Arnold Schwarzenegger, Bill Clinton, JFK.
Patrick Warburton.
That's a little...
Putty or Patrick Warburton?
Is there a difference between Putty and Patrick Warburton?
I think there are subtle differences. I think each Patrick Warburton character is a variation on that theme.
Yeah.
Subtle changes. Mm-hmm. So,
I don't think I've ever been more confused and delighted than when I met Patrick Warburton and he was just Patrick Warburton.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you imagine that Patrick Warburton is doing a shtick and then he goes home. And I want to be clear, the nicest dude. We like talked about kids and soccer and minivans and stuff. But like, he just is Patrick Warburton.
I remember loving that about movies and TV at a really young age. Like, because you know there are guys that go out there and like, you know, Martin Short is never Martin Short. He's a guy, you know, he's doing a thing 24 hours a day, maybe. And then there are people that are just like, I'm kind of goofy and funny. And turns out they can use this type of goofy and funny in a lot of different things. And I bought a house in Glendale in 89. And I'm going to just cruise through doing the same. There's something amazing and fucking American about that. We need a bald vice principal dude.
Oh, yeah.
There he is. There he
he's
is.
The guy who's the bald vice principal and everything.
Yeah. How do you know he's the bald vice? Because he was already the bald vice principal dude in 17 other things.
It's what's truly amazing to me is when you understand that that bald vice principal dude is a human being, that they could that human being could have literally nothing to do with the thing that they're capable of doing on camera.
Right.
Like, they could have that. I was just watching One Day at a Time, the Netflix sitcom, really funny, co-created by past Jordan Jesse Go guest Mike Royce. And Stephen Tobolowsky is on it.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was thinking two things. One, I was thinking, Jesus Christ, is Stephen Tobolowsky good at doing this thing that he does?
20%. Whatever you're doing is going to be 20% better if he's just in a small part. He's just going to be a better show.
It's just remarkable. Like, it's just a thing that he does, and he is amazing at it. And he can do it in comedy or in drama. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter. Like, he's just amazing at it. But then, you know, we've had Stephen Tobolowsky on this show, too. Mm-hmm. Like, Stephen Tobolowsky is, like, a man of unknowable depths.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's like a book that unfolds before you, you know? Like, you can't believe that there's more and more and more there, and he's such a remarkable, profound, amazing man. But on the other hand, he will forever work as the fourth-billed guy on every sitcom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Do you need a mean boss for a couple episodes?
Yeah.
This is a fun thing about Tobolowsky.
Can I guess what it is? Everything?
That's true. Here's one specific thing.
Got it.
That is included in everything. So we were planning the, I think this was last year, we were planning the At Midnight Groundhog Day episode. And we kind of had this idea where the show would, like, restart every, you know, every after you came back from a commercial break. Fucking Corden did it the night before. Fucking Corden doing the same thing.
Snaked you guys?
Snaked us.
He pulled that
on
shit on you.
Pretty obvious idea.
At 1 hour into Groundhog Day.
Yeah.
What a pile of bullshit.
Anyway.
I have an idea.
Hmm.
Here's the idea.
You don't see us singing in a car.
We're not singing
in a car.
Hoverboard karaoke.
Why sing
hoverboard
on a stage?
Charades. So it's our thing that we had planned.
It's Meatloaf singing and he's taking a shower and you see his dick.
I love it.
And every week it's a different celebrity and you see his dick. No,
you
just Meatloaf.
Nah, it's Meatloaf.
Every week it's a different celebrity, same Meatloaf dick.
Yeah.
You pan down and you insert the shot of Meatloaf's dick, even if it's a woman.
Yeah.
Oh, they have Meatloaf's dick as well. Everyone has it. So we had this thing planned, had to scrap it last minute.
Right.
And someone suggested, hey, if we could get Tobolowsky in here, he could come up and be like, it's me, Ned Ryerson, Ned the Head. And we all loved the idea. Called up Tobolowsky. He was into it. And then an hour before he's supposed to get there, we're like, fuck. A lot of times, this audience, it'll be like this paid audience, you know, if it's early on a weekday, who doesn't remember care to laugh at anything that happened before 2005.
Right.
It is not a joke about Drake or Beyonce. They do not want to hear it.
Yeah.
They just want to hear Beyonce and clap.
Yeah. It's not like comedy nerds at these things. All the references.
It is and it isn't. Sometimes it's,
Bunny's going to be there sometimes.
Sure. Sometimes you get a nice crowd with Elvis Costello glasses who know what Reddit is and are happy to hear jokes about it.
Wait a minute. That's the barometer? Do they know what Reddit is?
Yes. Many don't.
Oh, man.
We're like, well, fuck. We don't know who the science is going to be. It's Tobolowsky could come out there to crickets.
Right.
Like, who's this? So
we better put Groundhog Day into the pre-show montage.
Yeah,
that's what I was thinking.
Before we start the show, sit and watch Groundhog Day.
A little homework.
Yeah. Backup plan, Tobolowsky comes out, sings Hotline Bling. So, crunch time.
Yeah.
Tobolowsky inches out on stage. Fucking place goes ape shit. The place goes
so good.
Ape shit. It was nuts. Yeah. They running up and down the aisles, they were so happy to see Tobolowsky.
To the walls.
How many people in that audience could have given you a name or anything else that he's ever been in? But they were all like, it's the guy! It's the guy!
It's him!
Yeah.
So, I have a lot of faith in the younger generation because they were able to go apeshit at Tobolowsky coming out on Groundhog Day.
That's really good.
It felt good. It felt really good.
You know what? Next year, throw Chris Elliott at him. See what happens.
Sure.
I worked on a multicam show. And Danny Masterson was on the show and, you know, successful actor, you know, nothing but a nice guy to me, but not a huge star. And that 70s show was a while ago.
Yeah.
And every night we taped, he walks out and it's just that's the guy from that show.
It's him.
It's a guy that I recognize.
I've seen.
With the beard, you know.
I'm always surprised how many that 70s show reruns are just on TV at weird times. Yeah. I guess that was like a show for people.
Well, I mean, once something is in syndication, you forget that it's like it for like those 6 or 7 years it was on. That's great, but it's multiply that by 10. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
It's just going to be on and on and on, and people are like Big Bang Theory repeats. The show that I worked on was a TBS original, and Big Bang Theory repeats routinely trounced us and every other original on TBS. Sure. And the it's just like, you know.
I think that is the plight of anybody who is making cable television these days, is that you just want to beat the season 2 Family Guy rerun. Beat the season 2 Family Guy rerun or narrowly approach its ratings, we'll probably be fine.
Yeah, don't set your sights too low. Don't just say I want to beat that American Dad rerun.
No. You gotta, give yourself a little bit of credit. Sure, we could all beat the American Dad rerun.
Yeah,
when you're beating the Family Guy rerun.
Yeah, the standards of success in cable television are a very slippery and unusual thing.
Still on is the standard of success, I believe, currently. Are you still on?
Yeah.
When you get one of these.
Check still comes?
Yeah.
Like, I think to some extent the most successful cable television show is just one that people have heard of.
Mm-hmm.
There are like two categories. One is Swamp People. This is a show that literally millions of people watch that is not anything.
Mm-hmm. It's a guitar lick and a moan, right? All those shows are like, bling, How did your dad get all this? Is an incredible house. How did your husband make his money? Honey, can you hit it? Oh, it's you. It's the guy.
He studied under the guy who said exclusive.
He had to find his own
protege.
Put his own take on it. So his own spin.
So Swamp People is strum, fanboat explosion.
I'm pretty sure it's just
crocodile meat.
The titles, the strum,
right.
The hmm. And then I don't know. I don't think they're making them anymore. I think they just show Beverly Hillbillies reruns.
Right.
It's like as long as you reset it at the end after every commercial
people
break.
Think they're watching Swamp
this
People.
This is the airboat montage from the original Miami Vice. This is not a new show. This is not new.
That is a very good montage.
Oh, it's
though.
excellent.
But yeah, like there's
just enough of Philip Michael Johnson's like chest hair. Mm-hmm. Like I think that's his name.
There's like the two
Philip
categories.
Michael
Philip Michael Thomas.
Okay.
There's, Don Johnson.
There's the category of things that 10 million people watch that are on History Channel.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's every other network is just hoping you will have heard of one of their shows.
And just flipping. Everything's getting flipped. You got to flip something now.
They just want Billy on the Street. They just want something that someone has heard of.
It's all Housewives and flipping. If you're not flipping a housewife, you don't have it. You don't have it.
I was looking at the True TV, the Comedy Network now. A lot of our friends have Guy Branum's got a show coming out on True TV.
Yeah, that fucking network is like gone through 18 different iterations in like 3 years, I feel like.
It's very confusing. But we're thrilled that,
Chris
Fairbanks.
Didn't it used to be Court TV?
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, did it literally used
four
to be
years ago.
Court TV?
And, I'm glad Chris Fairbanks is working there because he's the funniest guy in the world.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So that's great. But I'm pretty sure that network is just that one prank show 23 hours a day, and then in the other 2 half-hour slots, just something that they're hoping someone will have heard of.
Mm-hmm.
Like just an attempt, just a roll of the dice.
Please mention this on Vulture.
Exactly.
if you hate it, just talk about how much you hate it. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, yeah.
When you can be in a room with a room full of TV writers whose job it is to know about this stuff and all the expenses, the cable, all that stuff's a tax write-off, and you can mention a show or mention a network and people go, what's that?
Right. Yeah.
Where? Who?
Yeah, it is almost amazing when it happens with a network.
Yeah, an entire network.
I have not heard of that TV network.
Yeah, yeah.
I think the practical reasons for that is because, you know, nobody writes about a Family Guy rerun, so you want to have something people can write about, that free press for, you know, making a show. But also I think selling things to streaming services is a big business.
Yeah.
Like foreign streaming services. So I think, like, if you can make 10 episodes of something, you can just sell it to Dutch Hulu.
Dulu.
They knew, Dulu.
I'm sorry, Dthulu is how you pronounce it.
Yeah, right, there was one point that we
Dutch
got...
Dthulu is also a squid monster.
After making literally zero money and having very few people watch, especially the second season of the Put This On video series, we got an offer from, like, British Airways or something to like put it inside their TV computers that was like $15,000 mm-hmm. or something. And it was like, oh, shit. We should be making money at this business.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like there's secret untapped wells of piles of money that we should be earning.
I tell you something, though. Like, every year when you start on a show, your union rep comes in and talks to you, you know, whatever, WGA, and they ask you any questions or whatever. And they, like, these people are making crazy money. Like, the industry has never been more profitable. You're like, all these networks, all these shows, who can watch all these things? I don't know. Somebody's fucking watching them because they're all, like, she legit straight up told us, like, they're having huge, huge profits. Like, all these huge corporations are making a ton of money. I think the appetite for this stuff is kind of endless. It's just going to be smaller. You know, like, no one's ever going to have the monster hit show. But if you're like, we figured out another angle on a flipping show, or like there's another shitty part of America that people watch. People emerge from swamps and Alaskan mountains and another, like, rivers.
Another Arizona assholes. Some assholes another, from Arizona.
Like Northern Arizona.
Magical, right, yeah, yeah. That magical alchemical mix of relatability and schadenfreude that constitutes one of those programs. Something that's like that you recognize, but you can feel a little bit superior to.
There was a moment when reality TV people realized, oh, it doesn't matter if they watch because they hate these people. They're watching. It doesn't
matter. As long as they keep the TV on for the catheter commercial.
Yeah. It's a sort of J.R. Ewing effect. It's like the bad guys can be, you know, more important than the good guy. And now you watch those shows and, like, you know, like The Real Housewives, it's just like women screaming at each other. They're all horrible people. Why would you want to watch this?
Do you guys have a housewife in your house? Do you guys have a housewife show that you guys watch?
Is your wife
a real bitch?
Is she? Yeah, that's what I'm asking you.
My wife, like every married man that I know, his wife subscribes to some of the trashiness. And my wife does not subscribe to the housewife trashiness, which is good. Mm-hmm. She used to be into the like pregnant teenager shows.
Oh, sure.
Which drove me crazy. Because at no point in those shows would anyone sit that person down and say, listen, Megan, I know you like Brad. He's cute. He's cute and charming.
Yeah.
You're 18 and you have a baby.
Right.
He can't handle this
shit. Listen, we're all impressed by Brad's truck.
Yeah.
It's a great truck.
Is great.
His gauge earrings are amazing.
You know, but he's freaked out.
Yeah.
He's freaked out because he's 17 and he doesn't want to have a fucking baby. So you got to get your shit together, Megan, and stop calling Brad and stop hanging up on him and stop expecting him to go. And he has to put a fucking baby seat in the truck. It's been 8 months. Like, no one ever had these simple, like, that guy's not going to be a good dad. He's light years away from being a good dad.
He can't even grow a good mustache. Look at his bad mustache.
His goatee doesn't connect. What can he teach your son?
Mustaches. The thing that drove me crazy when I tried to watch one of those shows is how dirty everyone's sweatshirt is. Like, just fucking roll a lint roller over your goddamn Juggalo sweatshirt, you pregnant asshole.
Also, bum equipment was from when I was in high school. They're not still making these.
Where are you getting these bum equipment sweatshirts? I'm sorry I called them pregnant assholes. See?
Those two things are not mutually exclusive.
Tough life.
As someone who's father to children, those two things aren't mutually exclusive. It's possible to be both.
I wonder, Jordan, have you guys on your television program had the opportunity to cover the Juggalo March on Washington at all?
You mean the At Midnight premise?
Yes.
You mean the Easy At Midnight premise?
Yes.
Yes. The Juggalo March on Washington is something that is happening.
Yeah.
I don't know why it's back in the news. I feel like they announced it last year.
Well, I think marches on Washington are in the news.
Oh, sure.
So
sure.
They're catching that. They're riding that wave.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's on Washington Boulevard in Spokane.
Yeah.
Is the twist.
It's on the house of a guy with sweet nugs in Washington State.
Yeah.
We have goofed on it, and I'm sure we will goof on it when it actually happens.
I wish that their grievance is very legitimate.
Absolutely.
What are their grievance?
They've been named a pseudo gang by the FBI, which allows like weird special prosecutions and stuff like that. Based on the fact that they all have an identifying tattoo, and a couple of other weird things like that.
It's How long have authorities been trying to criminalize shitty or not shitty pop rap music? Like, yeah. That's what they're trying to do. Mm-hmm. Like, and yeah, if you go to a big music festival, there are going to be drugs there. Illegal things might happen. But the Insane Clown Posse is not the, you know, like, that's all this is.
It's, they're just giving people an identity.
That soda's disgusting.
The soda's very bad.
It's disgusting.
Yeah. I feel like Faygo, the Juggalo soda. Yeah. Which is a song they would play on KCSC radio.
Uh-huh.
Juggalo soda.
Carmen now. Time for the Insane Clown Posse. And the hit ponder replay. Spin it back, Mr. DJ. Time for Juggalo soda.
Insane Clown Posse was one of those where I was like, this is white people fucking with us, right? Don't say anything. Just don't say anything. Just smile and just go along.
We're all going to jump out and yell surprise later.
All of white America.
It's a very long game.
We really pulled the hood over your eyes.
But I feel like I've been to a couple of like foodie restaurants lately that have Faygo.
Because they'll have like an array of
Regional sodas. Yeah. And I was excited to have a Faygo. Because I only knew it as a punchline.
They have a couple flavors, maybe?
Oh, boy. The one I think I had was pennies.
Uh-huh.
Penny flavor. <Got it. laughs> Just, like they melted down pennies and carbonated somehow? Mm-hmm. No, right. It was very... I forget what flavor
old school pennies before they took the lead out.
Right, yes, exactly. Toxic pennies.
Ever since our friend Nathan Rabin, freelance entertainment journalist Nathan Rabin, became a Juggalo himself... Mm-hmm. I've really wished the best for the Juggalo community.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want them throwing things at Andrew WK, but I hope that they can become a force for good in the world.
Yeah, I think so,
like
too.
Like Bikers for Trump.
Right. He's like, oh, God bless those boys.
Yeah. Stamps. Yeah, God bless that wall of meat.
I liked Nathan's book about Juggalos a lot. And, yeah, no, I think they are like a fun thing to goof on. But, yeah, I think that there is a... There's a super, super positive, cool side of it, too. And hopefully that's the marching part.
Yeah, like it's a lot easier because of Juggalos, just for example, to get magic mushrooms.
There you
In
go.
A lot of sure. the upper Midwest, where it's relatively difficult to get magic mushrooms if you want to get high on magic mushrooms.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
That's just one example. Get an affordable tattoo.
Sure.
Like a $10 tattoo.
Sharpen something into a knife. It's not a knife.
Yeah.
Yeah. They could also help with that.
Is Bic ink toxic? Who knows?
Hard to say.
A lot of kids who dream of becoming rappers but feel like their dreams otherwise would have been crushed by the fact that they're terrible at rapping
mm-hmm.
can still follow their dreams because they know if they can.
I have no rhyme skills or charisma or wordplay abilities at all. How do you have any grease paint? I do. I do have tons of grease paint.
Then you're set.
You're all in.
There's a lot of really credible street rappers who are 47 years old that have like joined the movement and like are working full time as Juggalo guys now.
I watched a video from a female Juggalo, Juggalette.
Mm-hmm.
Her name is Cotton Candy with two K's.
Mm-hmm.
It's good that there's not a third
Cotton
word there.
Candy.
See, even the first two. Why risk it?
Why two?
We let Kit Kat in. We let Kit Kat in. Those guys were sort of grandfathered in. Mm-hmm. Everybody else doubling up on K's, I don't know.
It's sort of like naming your child N-A-Z mm-hmm. and it's pronounced knots.
Sure.
You're most of the way there.
How about Phil?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Skip it.
Anyway, she had a... And again...
Radolf Mittler, huh?
She is, did not seem to have any musical talent, but her rap had a very cool refrain,
uh-huh.
which was... Do you want fries with that? Hell yeah. I know I want fries with that.
It's pretty universal.
It was pretty good.
Solid.
Yeah. Did you ever watch that video? I was obsessed for about 3 years with a rap video that was on YouTube for a long time. I went and looked and it had been taken down. But it was by a rapper named P the G, mm-hmm. Princeton the Great, who's kind of like a kind of skinny 19-year-old kid that looked like an African exchange student, maybe. Like, had that kind of, like he had an out-of-place look to him. And it's just him in the front seat of his car. He's recording with the beat on his car stereo and him rapping into the phone video or something.
And what year is this technology?
We're talking about 5, 6, 7 years ago.
Okay.
And it was, the song was called Cheeseburgers. And the rap went, "We get in cheeseburgers. We get in a double cheeseburger. We get in a triple cheeseburger. We get in cheeseburgers. We get in cheeseburgers." It was amazing.
It sounds great.
It was magical.
Yeah.
That dude had bars.
Where's this guy getting a triple cheeseburger?
Bars on bars on bars. That's hella cheese.
Boy.
I think it's just two cheeses in between three patties, because otherwise it seems like, how could the restaurant make any money?
Yeah, I know, right?
Unless he's rich and he's giving them $20 or $30 for this cheeseburger.
That might be the case.
I mean, he's getting cheese. This dude is getting cheeseburgers.
I've seen those rap.
If I know one thing about P the G, it's that he's getting cheeseburgers.
Yeah.
Here's why people stick with their dreams until they're too old or whatever. Like, people tell them to hang it up. Everybody's got one great thing in them. Like, that dude, that cheeseburger, like, he's probably got something. We will probably never see it. Mm-hmm. But there is probably, you've listened to, think of, like, any really popular, not even rap song, but just pop song, the hook, whatever, you know, the verse. You're just like, I could have wrote this shit. Like, I could have come up with that. Like,
but you need that, there's still a dash of magic.
Yeah, yeah.
Sure. And everyone's got one dash of magic.
Yeah.
It's just whether they're wasting it on the lady at the post office.
Everybody that I saw doing stand-up that, you know, not everybody, but the people that stuck with it long enough to get past the open mic stage, you're like, that's a really good joke. That guy's got at least one or two, like, mm-hmm. solid. He might not ever write another really good joke. But everybody can, you know, come up with one. That's sure. a solid, solid mm-hmm. joke.
And you know that you're a true genius if you can make them say, mm-hmm. and transform it into gold leaf ceilings like Masterpiece.
You
like
need Masterpiece. The shenanana.
Yeah.
See, the average person might have just been like, make them say, but shenanana, sure. the follow-up is what, you know.
And by the time when you add that follow-up, all of a sudden, you're buying a tiny Bentley for your child. Mm-hmm. You're buying a tiny Land Rover
and
for
you're
your
teaching
child.
Him how to say, shenanana, so that and then he rhymes, and you're building a wealth. You're
and
building
eventually,
a legacy.
Eventually, he's the kind of guy who can appear on a inside-the-bus advertisement for a correspondence college.
Look, okay. They have a flexible course. They have a flexible schedule.
That's true.
They have online courses, Jesse.
Really convenient.
They will help you with financing.
Yeah. Yeah, these are all promises that adult Lil Romeo can and will make.
Adult Lil Romeo.
We'll be back in just a second on Jordan Jesse Go. It's Jordan Jesse Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart. We've got sponsors on this week's program. Our friends at Squarespace. If you make something, and I'm talking about anything from potholders to homemade shoes, whatever you make, Squarespace can help you showcase it. Even if you're just writing Jordan and Jesse / Fic. In fact, especially if you're writing Jordan and Jesse / Fic. Or if you're shipping us, that's where you make it so that we're in love, but not necessarily doing it. Anyway, all those things are perfect for your Squarespace website. They make it really easy to make a gorgeous website. You know, it works on your phone, it works on the computer without you having to do anything. And you can sell stuff on there too if you want to. For a free trial and 10% off your first purchase, visit squarespace.com/JJGO. We're also sponsored this week by our friends at Blue Apron. Gotta get them cakes. They'll send you specially sourced and specially measured ingredients for a whole squadjillion of delicious recipes. I've not looked up the exact number, but I believe it's approximately one squadjillion, so that you can cook delicious stuff at home with a minimum of hassle. All the recipes are easy. There's something for a seasoned cook. There's something for a beginner cook. You can tell them your dietary preferences. I don't like fish. Sorry, I just don't. So I told them not to send me any fish, and it worked out great. And it's not that expensive. Less than $10 per person per meal, delivered to your door in a special refrigerator box. And you can check out this week's menu and get your first three meals free with free shipping, including the refrigerator box, by going to blueapron.com/JJGO. That's blueapron.com/JJGO. Blue Apron.
Gotta get them cakes.
And don't forget, we got this new Tuppies t-shirt. Ooh, I am in love with this thing. Tuppies, Tuppies, Tuppies. That's what everyone likes to call Tupperwares. Anybody who doesn't call them that is dumb. And you can tell them that. Say Jesse Thorne said so. Tell them to come get in a fight with me if they don't like it. Give them my address. Tuppies. MaxFunStore.com. We'll be back in just a second on Jordan, Jesse, Go. La, 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 la,
la, la, la. Hello, and welcome to Podphone. What type of podcast are you looking for?
You have chosen funny podcasts about bad movies.
Rated R. May we recommend The Flophouse.
Three friends talk about bad movies and make each other and you laugh.
Rated R. The Flophouse is playing at your ears.
If you download it right now or whenever.
Rated R. To purchase tickets to The Flophouse, you don't need to do that. Just download it. The Flophouse, rated R for nudity, I guess. La, 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 la,
la, la, la, la. It's Jordan, Jesse, Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
Repeat Adams.
Repeat is back.
Nick Repeat Adams, by the way, wearing low-end theory socks. Those Midnight Marauder socks?
Yeah, I got my trap socks on. I'm sweltering in the box right now, but it's worth it.
How do you feel about a picture sock, Jordan?
I think they're fun sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's see. I got a couple picture socks. I have a pair of socks that I really, really like. It was a Christmas gift from a friend's wife. Mm-hmm. You know what? I'm going to go ahead and call her my friend.
Really?
She's also my friend.
Well, if she was nice enough to give you a Christmas present, sounds like she's a good friend.
They are Christmas colors, red and green. And they're kind of like, they're kind of high socks. They kind of go up, you know, mid-calf. And they just say beer on them. And it's pretty mind-blowing. Mm-hmm.
That sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I really appreciate that.
And we all took the sorting hat quiz, mm-hmm. which tells you which Harry Potter house you would be in.
Oh, yeah.
And I got Gryffindor.
I got out.
Mm.
Outhouse.
Magic toilet. Mm-hmm.
Said I was a real pile of shit.
Yeah. Hagrid's couch.
Yeah.
And then I was gifted a nice pair of Gryffindor socks.
Oh, that's
so I got those are my two picture socks, and they're a lot of fun.
How many
Hufflepuff assholes were there?
No, here's the thing. The office split 50-50 Gryffindor Slytherin.
Mm. No Ravenclaws?
There were the only two, and I don't know too much about what that means, but from what I guess the Gryffindor, pure of heart, Slytherin,
good guys and bad guys.
Yeah, basically. Well, I think they're conniving, mm-hmm. ruthless.
Yeah,
I took that,
look out for number one.
I took that same quiz and it gave me Childish Gambino.
Interesting.
Yeah, I think it was the same quiz.
Yeah,
not 100%. When something momentous happens to you, I swear to God, Christian Duenas, who works here, mm-hmm. at the office, the world famous past Jordan Jesse Go guest and, mm-hmm. caller whose grandpa's favorite genre of movie is talking dog movies. Mm-hmm. Christian Duenas literally has come into my office so many times to show me his socks, mm-hmm. that at this point I sincerely anticipate him showing me his socks whenever he comes into my office. Like, I'm his boss.
You get ready to see those socks.
I supervise his work. He's walking through the door. I'm already saying, what are the new socks?
Let's see those
socks.
Wait, does he think that's a part of his job responsibility?
To bring in new socks every day?
He might think this was expected of him.
I think this may be his first, like, real professional white-collar
job. He doesn't know.
So he doesn't know that showing off your socks is not a... Yeah. That may be the problem. Mm-hmm.
Or maybe it's just like his mom was like, gave him some weird advice. Did you show him your socks? Is it working? Yeah, Mom, I'm showing him my socks. Just back off.
His dad's a nurse, and his dad's like, well, at Kaiser, every morning,
we present socks.
Over at Children's, mm-hmm. we always make sure to present the socks for...
Works for me.
How often are you washing your hands? Okay, when something momentous happens to you, we ask you to call us for our segment, Momentous Occasions. The number is 206-984-4FUN, 206-984-4FUN. Here's our first Momentous Occasions call.
Hey guys, this is Christy calling from Pittsfield. I'm calling with a momentous occasion. I just finished crocheting a sweater for my dog. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, that's cool.
Dog sweater.
I like someone who keeps it tight,
mm-hmm.
keep it low key,
yep.
but still pretty interesting.
In and out. You know, I'll take my answer off air sort of deal.
Exactly, without even having to say. I'll take my, she just clack,
boom.
One complaint.
Yeah.
Can't have a Pittsfield.
Yeah.
What's that?
Pittsfield. She's from Pittsfield. Mm. Can't have that.
We got a Berg.
We got a Pittsburgh.
Sure.
We can't double up with Pitts's. Come on.
Yeah, it sounds like it's too much.
It's too much.
Madam, move to Pittsburgh.
Pack it up.
Abandon your town.
Where is Pittsfield?
If it becomes a ghost town, they will take it off the map. So it's your duty to move away.
If Pittsfield is in Pennsylvania, we should just close it up.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
Forced relocation style.
Too much.
Too much.
Like a real Trail of Tears?
Well, I mean, look.
It doesn't have to
be. A kinder, gentler relocation.
Right.
Everyone would be compensated.
We would integrate them into Christian society.
Perhaps we would build a separate part of Pittsburgh where they could stay and feel more comfortable with their own kind.
That's
something like that.
See, now that's a good idea.
That seems fair, right?
Could we build it underwater?
To be clear,
that doesn't have anything to do with the thrust of the joke that we were pursuing. I just think it would be fun if there were a separate group of people that lived underwater in Pittsburgh.
If we're going to segregate, let's segregate and kind of be futurist
domed cities.
They've got three rivers.
Yeah. You can just jam some people underneath one of those things.
Yeah.
Then maybe after a certain amount of generations have passed, their children will develop gills.
Yeah.
One can only hope.
Yeah. Maybe sort of like the on Naboo.
Yes, exactly like on Naboo. Does that happen on Naboo?
Phantom Menace.
Yeah.
Come on.
Are there gill people?
Yeah. Jar Jar, they go underwater. There's a whole thing.
Those aren't people. Those are Gungans.
But
that's
a
whole other species.
Okay, Jesus. Not people. I'm sorry.
Right. Sorry, I'm the keeper of the G canon, which is everything that George Lucas has approved as canon. So
wait,
a mistake.
Let me just text George real quick and double check. Yeah, it's cool.
Okay, cool.
George says it's cool.
So you don't have to text him. You can just go through me. I'm the keeper of G canon.
Nick, can I ask something of you just for the rest of the show? Jordan, don't listen right
now. Okay, I'm not.
Just don't say any shit about Mega Man. Just don't say anything about Mega Man because...
I'm not involved. I'm sorry. I know I wasn't supposed to be listening.
Yes.
I'm not involved with Mega Man in any official capacity. I am George Lucas's official keeper of G-canon.
Right, but you see yourself as an unofficial historian of Mega Man.
In fact, the Sony Corporation has explicitly asked you to refrain from commenting on Mega Man in public.
Yes, right. Yeah, I have a gag order.
Okay, let's take our next call.
Hi, Jordan, Jesse, et al. I'm Robin from Chicago. And today, on the way home from work, I saw a, nice upholstered dining chair sitting upright in the center lane of I-294. And I don't know how it might have come to be there or how long it might have sat there until someone ended up hitting it, but I've been thinking about it all afternoon. Have a good one.
I could see that from the 110 or the 5.
Sure. Yeah, yeah.
And 294?
Before we get into it, Chicago, shut it down. We don't need it.
I don't think we need Chicago either.
Yeah.
Second city.
Pittsfield, Chicago. Get them out of there. Yeah. Put them underwater.
I say let's...
They got that lake, right?
They do got that lake. Jam them under there.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? When we're building that underwater city, I don't think the taxpayers should have to pay for it. I'm going to make the fish pay for it.
Make the Gungans pay for it. Here's how we'll do that. Well, it'll be a thing where we tax Gungan goods.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, aquapods.
Right.
Reeds.
What else?
Reeds.
Boy, I wish I knew more about Gungans. I can't keep this G-canon bit going because I don't know enough about the prequels.
As a good, honorable human being, you haven't watched them enough to know.
That's true. Yes.
Yeah. I'm instituting a backlash to the backlash to the backlash of the
All right,
prequels.
Hold on. So you're back on board prequel hate. Backlash.
To the backlash to the backlash. So initially, there was a backlash.
Let's track this backlash.
Okay. The backlash is the prequels suck, right?
Initially, the initial backlash was, what the fuck? These movies suck.
Right. And the backlash to that was like, no, they're actually.
I guess the movies
good.
Apparently, I only saw the first one, but apparently they got better as they went along. And by the end, they weren't that bad.
That's not
relatively
true.
Speaking.
That's not true.
I would agree, but the first one was really, really shitty,
recently,
and I think they got a little bit better.
Recently,
so still shitty. Mm-hmm.
Recently, I've been hearing talk of, oh, they weren't that bad. Mm-hmm. They're actually kind of good.
Yeah, the the prequels are good argument is a very, very special kind of nerd gymnastics.
Yeah. Actually, we should have invaded Vietnam.
Yeah. You know what? You know what
we
I think?
We wouldn't have all these nail salons had we not done that.
Instead of, I think the official response to the prequels are good argument so that I don't have to deal with it is we get to write a special 1,000-page list of just new Star Wars shit to memorize. Mm-hmm. Just give it to those people so they can just work on that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'll be over here just doing my life. Mm-hmm. If you need some shit to learn about Gungans, go to town. I wish you nothing but the best. I've learned there's 100 pages in my new book about Gungans. There's different rules about Gungans, things they can and can't do, kinds of spaceships they have, the whole nine yards.
Maybe a nice Netflix multicam about a Gungan family.
Yeah,
oh, that would be nice.
Who knows?
Yeah, watch that shit. I'm going to put it on Amazon Prime, though. Amazon Prime, okay?
Prime, yeah. Spread it around.
Yeah, just because if it's on Netflix, it's like whenever I turn on Netflix, they're going to be like pushing it on me.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
I'm going to create a kind of an office dramedy about the Galactic Trade Federation featuring all kinds of racist aliens.
Yeah.
Racist aliens from, you know, from every corner of the galaxy.
From Chinesy racist aliens.
Yeah, to Jewy aliens.
Yeah, got it.
Shuffling pigeon English aliens.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to stick that on Dutch Hulu.
You know, a lot of people think that was a race thing, that Jar Jar thing. That was actually a riff on KZSE's own DJ Hot Eye.
Yeah. I mean, when I saw it, I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah. Shout out to Santa Cruz. So, it was like a little Santa Cruz Easter egg.
You know, and if you don't know about the hero's journey, you don't get some of that stuff too. So,
right.
If you haven't seen Seven Samurai, there's some stuff that some references that are lost on you.
Some
so
really cool illusions.
You just got
to
do like some pre-work before you go into a Star Wars movie.
Like, for example, here's one of the allusions to the Seven Samurai that's in Star Wars 2, whatever it was called.
Star Wars 2.
Is that movie was boring. Which is an allusion to how you think the Seven Samurai is going to be boring because it's in black and white, but then it turns out to be pretty sweet.
Well, we're all learning a lot about cinema.
You got it.
And if there's one thing this podcast is for,
40-year-old movies?
Yeah, 40-year-old movies. So I think we've done it. I think we've remembered Nintendo and Star Wars.
Yeah.
So let's see.
All going to help the algorithm.
Oh shit!
They're going to feed this. They're going to feed this right into the machine, and it's
we just plug that. Plug this episode in.
We'll be back in just a second on Jordan Jesse Go. Why would you listen to a podcast of TV pilots that never got made? It must not have been any good, right?
I don't know for a fact that anyone read it.
They couldn't get the deal done.
It was kind of a regime change.
Someone at the studio who was in a decision-making capacity said, these guys seem like losers.
They just blamed it on, okay, well, it must be women.
We got word that USA had decided to stop doing comedy.
Why aren't we making this? It was so good.
Hear the TV comedies you never got to see on the Dead Pilot Society podcast. Listen on MaximumFun.org or wherever you download podcasts. It's Jordan Jesse Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
Nick, repeat Adams.
Repeat is back.
Nick, it's always a joy to have you on the program.
It's always good to be here, man.
It's nice of you to come by. It's nice of you to take time out of your thriving entertainment career.
Someone's got to, you know, provide these moderately watched basic cable and streaming TV shows to the public.
There are literally 15,000 people depending on you.
Laundry must be folded.
Sure.
Yeah, that's a
good background
point.
Entertainment must be provided.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I would say, you know, you were working on BoJack Horseman. That's a revolutionary television program.
It's a crazy good show. It's a really fun show to work on, too.
That's a show where animal characters do funny animal stuff.
And human characters do funny human stuff, and then sometimes they do it to each other.
Yeah,
it's a lot of fun.
And People of Earth about to start season two. Season one just finished on TBS.
Yeah,
and that show not only does it feature the brilliant writing of Nick Adams, you're also looking at about a dozen brilliant actor performers, including our friend Wyatt Cenac is on there.
Yeah. And a Gas Dyer.
You got a Brian Husky. Alice Wetterland. You got a lot of good, a lot of fun folks.
Murder's Row. That show's really good.
Watch that show. It's a fun show.
Really talented cast.
Brian Sonny D. Fernandez on the boards. Brian's, Brian's episode of The Royals just aired the other week.
Hey.
Yeah, go up on the internet and I guess look up his credit on, I don't know.
Maybe just go to your on-demand provider or whatever streaming service carries E! Entertainment.
Can I make a suggestion?
Look it up there. Is this helpful? Is any of this helpful?
It's really easy. Mm. You want to go to senate.gov, look up the phone number.
Put in your zip code.
Yeah, not for the national office, but for the local office of Kamala Harris. Mm-hmm. She's a former attorney general of the state of California.
She can let you know how to watch E! Entertainment television.
Give Kamala a call. Say, which one was the one that Brian from Jordan Jesse Go wrote? Mm-hmm.
Don't say Sonny D, because it's the Senate.
Yeah,
right. Don't say Sonny D.
Use first names. This is a familiar body, but not that familiar.
You don't have to say Mr. D, but don't say Sonny D.
Yeah.
Please, and don't say Mr. D was my father's name.
Don't say Beef or Beefy D.
Yeah.
Those are new nicknames that are just going to confuse Ms. Harris.
Yeah.
And do speak to Ms. Harris directly.
Yeah, no,
don't accept some staffer like the deputy policy agent for streaming television programs.
That's how they blow. That's what they blow up your butt to get you. No. Don't fall for that.
Yeah. And if you can't get Kamala Harris, John McCain will help.
Sure.
John McCain's willing to help.
He's like shadowing her for the first couple of months to sort of like show her the ropes and stuff. So you can talk to him.
Ideally, I would say this. I mean, like, I mentioned Kamala Harris because she's easier to get a hold of. But if you have her cell phone number, give Olympia Snow a call. Mm-hmm. She's a swing vote.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
A swing vote.
And she knows a lot about Brian.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she sure does.
Get at Olympia Snow on Snapchat. She's always on.
Yeah.
She's always on.
Hit her up.
Uses too many filters for me, for my taste.
I love her Insta, though.
Yeah. Good Insta.
I love that Insta.
Do not slide into her DMs. She will shut you down.
She will shut you down so hard. Mm-mm. As hard as she shuts down the immoderate wings of either party.
Oh, boy.
Right in the middle, representing Maine.
She just pretends they're DMs.
Yeah, you got it.
No pork barrel, no dick pics.
You know, coincidentally, here's a funny thing. She is actually my DM in my Dungeons & Dragons game. Yeah. Up in Bangor.
I bet that can get
once a month, I play a great game in Bangor. Mm-hmm. Olympia Snow is the DM.
Kind of elf?
Bill leaving committee.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, this has been a lot of fun.
Yeah. Always thank you, Nick. Always a joy.
Always a pleasure.
You can follow Jordan and I on Twitter, at Jesse Thorne, at Jordan_Morris. Nick, what's your Twitter again?
Nick Adams Webb.
Nick Adams Webb.
Mm-hmm, slightly above average dick.
At Nick Adams Webb.
At moderately sized.
Yeah. You can look me up on Twitter at 30th percentile.
I'm at 8 inches flaccid.
At slight discomfort at first.
Yeah. Get at us on Facebook, the Jordan Jesse Go group, and the Maximum Fun group. The Jordan Jesse Go page, the Maximum Fun group. Hashtag it JJGo on Twitter. Holler at us. Tell us what you thought of this show. And
Tumblr,
Maximum Fun.
MySpace. Frankster.
MaximumFun.reddit.com and Senate.gov. We'll talk to you next time on Jordan Jesse Go.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture. Artist owned.
Listener supported.